You are at the intersection of wealth, health, and happiness. Welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Life. Hello, and welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Life, the show about becoming wealthy without sacrificing your healthy. Each week, I interview a counter-cultural thought leader to bring you a unique millionaire mindset. I'm Christina Wise, best-selling author, millionaire coach, and your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Today, I tackle money wealth with Luke Gunnels. Luke is vice president and marketing director at Guardian, a leading financial planning company. Luke is one of my personal wealth advisors and is an expert of annuities, a powerful wealth-building tool that few understand. Luke is on my team because he's an innovative thinker when it comes to financial planning for your future self and legacy. He's an educator of money and holistic financial planning. This was a great interview about one of my favorite topics, money. Even if you don't think you want to learn about annuities, I encourage you to listen. I promise you'll learn a thing or two. Luke has opened my eyes to financial strategies I never knew about. He will likely do the same for you. Enjoy. Well, Luke, welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Life podcast. I'm really excited for our conversation today because we're going to talk about a money topic that I think most people are probably unfamiliar with, or if familiar, are a little bit scared of. So I'm really thrilled to be able to talk about this money subject and see where we wind up. So thanks again for joining me.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us about yourself. Obviously, I know you through Guardian, and we've met through some, you know, mutual friends and colleagues. But tell me about your journey. How did you wind up in the financial space, and have you always been interested in the money side? You know, this money world.
Sure, I appreciate it. Yeah, so I've been always interested in personal finance. I was a business major at Samford University in Birmingham, and driven really that way by my father, who really took a keen interest in his personal finance as a small business owner and a dentist in rural Alabama. So that kind of just permeated to me, and I've been in finance ever since. I started out in the banking industry, and then for the last 10 years, I've been in the wholesale part of financial services. So I started with an asset manager, the Hartford, back in 2006. And for the last 7 years, I've been with Guardian Retirement Services, focusing primarily on educating financial advisors and their clients on making your retirement income the best that it can be. So that's a little bit about how I got here.
Great. And what is it that you love about the financial services world? You know, I sometimes even steer away from financial services, financial advisory, some of these terms, because I think it can be scary to so many people when they're, you know, think of this financial services, this massive industry, and not quite even sure how to approach it. But, you know, we're just talking personal finance. We're just talking money and how to organize our money or structure our money so that we can live good today and have enough to live, you know, good during our older years. So what is it about this sort of industry or this work, I guess, that really excites you?
Well, the personal connection I've been able to make with the people that I've helped. So whether it's a financial advisor giving the advice, or whether it's one of their clients, to be able to simplify, you know, what can be intimidating to a lot of people in finance, to me, it's one of those things that I've been drawn to. So to be able to take a complicated subject and make a personal connection and simplify it and make it consumable in a way, it really helps people be at ease and gives people the confidence to live a happier lifestyle.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said that, because that really is my goal too, is on the money side of things that I teach, is to start simplifying some of these conversations. I almost think it's sort of the agenda of the financial services industry to keep things really complicated so that we abdicate and sort of give our money over to the planners, the advisors, whomever. And part of the podcast and even the work that I do is to educate and teach us just the basics of money mechanics and some of these long-term strategies that, you know, that the industry talks about retirement. I have another name for it. But is a way that once we understand these things, they're actually much less complicated than most of us think. And it's something most of us can all learn too. And we can start working with the right people to put the right plans in place so that we can take care of our lifestyle today and take care of our lifestyle as we age. So, and you've really done that for me. You and I have had several conversations and you've simplified, for example, educated me and simplified the conversation around annuities that I was really scared of prior to talking to you. But now after, you know, several conversations, I'm like, oh, wow, this is so interesting and fascinating. And I'm really excited to delve deeper into seeing how annuities might fit into my financial plan. So how much of your time is spent educating financial advisors on this word called annuities and just your personal customers?
So I spend probably 3/4 of my time with the financial advisors and the other quarter with their clients and people that they wish to help. And you mentioned it earlier about just simplifying and breaking it down, because really the idea today is a simple one. We spend our entire working career right out of college or at some point accumulating dollars for this future, you know, freedom after work or retirement, as it's conventionally known. And really the only thing that changes when we transition is the paychecks from our work stop. And we just need to make sure that we've got adequate plans in place to make sure that those paychecks that we've been generating ourselves are in a spot to generate paychecks for as long as we live, so we can maximize that time in retirement or, you know, when we're pursuing those things, those passions that we could not pursue when we were working.
Right. And that's basically what annuity is, correct? Is it's future cash flow that replaces your working cash flow at that conversion point. So it's where you start collecting money from the annuity that you've pre-purchased, basically, that at some future point in time when you don't want to live off your working income and you wish to live off the more passive side of things, that annuity can go into effect. So is it as simple as that? I mean, I know annuities can be complicated and there's different types and it can be complex, but simplified, is that more or less how you would describe it?
Sure, sure. You've got the essence of it. You know, the word annuity just means a periodic payment. So like our salary or like our paycheck that we've been used to for a 30 or 35 year working career, you know, we need to replicate that to pursue our passions in retirement. And, you know, annuity is expert in that. So that is the purest, you know, definition. If you think about a pension or a salary, you know, the outcome from an annuity is essentially the same thing. And there are variations that try to do more than that. But when you really pull it back and simplify it, and come back to the base and the idea of how annuity would be incorporated and be beneficial, it's replacing income.
Exactly, at some future point. So we'll dig into annuities a little bit more here in a second, because I really want to, for everyone listening, to have a basic understanding of annuities and then perhaps be able to talk to their financial advisors more about it, or at least have some good questions to ask to see if it might be something to fit into their plan and their strategy. But I'd really like to tackle this word retirement. When the way I teach money to, you know, my personal clients and to my students is I'm really working to break some of this retirement mindset that, you know, I call retirement even is the deferred life plan, that we're deferring so much of living today for some future date and time, usually some age or whatever. And I'm not sure that that's, you know, retirement was, even the idea of retirement was what, conceived probably in 1940s when the Social Security Act took place. And then corporations and governments started offering retirement income through Social Security or pensions. And then through this factory industrial age, we started talking about retirement, that when I retire at 62, I'll live
7 more years and can live off that retirement income before I die, which was what the sort of the actuaries, the lifespan at the time when this stuff was created. So today we're living a lot longer. And today, you know, we have resources to, and we're not necessarily dying at 68 and have to retire at 62. So part of, like I said, part of the work I'm trying to do is bust some of this retirement myth. But when you say retirement, what is your definition for retirement? Are you looking at, okay, we're trying to coach people that you should retire and just let, you know, stop working and stop being productive in society at 62 and then start living off of some other income?
Yes, conventionally that's the way retirement is looked at, but I agree with you that the word retirement is limited. And you know, it's not necessarily a positive, it's not necessarily a positive in that it almost is like the end of something. And for most clients now, when you could live another 30 to 40 years, you know, after a working career, you know, it shouldn't be the end. It very well should be the beginning of a pursuit of things that you want to do. So, you know, the conventional view of retirement for most is, you know, work for 30 years, you know, somewhere in your 60s, you know, have built the financial freedom or financial ability to, you know, to pursue something different and to retire. But retirees today have the opportunity to really, you know, pursue passions that, you know, the things that they want to do. So I like the way that you frame retirement and really to change the perception of retirement.
Yeah, I would really like to, even when we're having these conversations, it's because it's as though we have to slug through this working life and it sucks so bad and I hate my life and I'm just, you know, just working through this to hit this retirement thing that that point, then I can start enjoying my life and pursue all these passions that I've sacrificed because I had to work so hard and sludge through and working for the man or whatever. And I want to challenge that a little bit because I really want to move, you know, people, if possible, to know, let's live our passion. Let's work our passion for our entire lives. And who needs to retire at 62? Why not maybe work until we're 100 if we're healthy and, you know, we take care of our body and mind. We could do that. Now, maybe not work as hard or as long of hours, but I just really want to, I just don't like this notion of we get to pursue our passions when we retire. It's like, no, let's pursue our passions all the time, but let's make this life plan that allows us to work and enjoy our work and impact and pursue and then set up our future strategies so that as we age, at some point, there are different types of incomes we can live off of, including maybe working income. I mean, you're not going to pull me out of the workforce until, you know, I mean, they're going to have to yank me out or it'll be the end of my days. And so, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to set up my future in a way that if something happens that I need the non-working income, because as we age, that will happen. But that too, I do have more freedom and flexibility to choose what I do with my time, and I'm not locked into having to work for a paycheck. So there's the challenge there. I just like want to take every opportunity I can get to sort of bust some of these retirement myths that says that life starts when you retire, and before that, it kind of sucks, and that there's no value. You're not valuable to the workforce when you're old, so we have to pull you out of the workforce because old people aren't valuable. And that, you know, I just think there's a lot of belief systems and things that come with that. So if we can replace the word retirement, I like to do it. I like to call it this transition point, where I do call it the self-actualization point or this financial freedom point, where we reach a place in our life at any age. It could happen at 35. It could happen at 45. It could happen at 65. It might happen at 75. But whatever the age is, it's not about this future event or this set point in time that I'm going to retire with this capital at work number that says that I have enough to retire. And that's the day that my life gets to begin. It's more about working towards financial freedom, which means at whatever age that it happens, it's a place where there's an event like an annuity that might take over or, you know, many different things that happen, but it's a place, a future place in time where we have the cash flow, where we have the income that comes from our different assets that can replace our working income if we want it to. And that's the place of freedom where we can choose to work or not, or we can choose to work less or not. But it's not about retiring. It's just what I call this transition point of freedom and this place of self-actualization where we're fully actualized that we can actually work and live and make impact and do these things that we, you know, we want to maybe continue to do, but not do it for the money. We can still make money doing it, but that's what I call this true point in time of self-actualization. And that's why I love the idea of annuities. And I want to have this conversation today because what annuities are, the way you've described it to me that I really liked, it's guaranteed future income. And so when you buy an annuity, that annuity will guarantee a certain amount of income in the future, whatever, you know, future date that is. So how great is that? That then we get to determine as we're setting up some of these future events so that we have the option and we have the more flexibility or the more freedom. So talk about annuity. When you say guaranteed, more or less, you know, guaranteed is probably a risky word, but we're talking about more or less guaranteed future income, and that's an annuity. Can you really start breaking down what an annuity is and how it works?
Sure. So when just to kind of go back and look at, you know, what retirement used to be for our parents and grandparents, and you mentioned earlier in the conversation pensions, and I think that's a key theme when thinking about an annuity, because you know our parents, our grandparents, they had their lifestyle taken care of by Social Security. They had a lifestyle taken care of by a pension. And if you ask them, you know, how much their retirement plan was worth at age 50 or 55, most of them would probably say, you know, 80% of my current salary, because that's what their pension was going to pay out, you know, at age 60 or 62 when they retired. So they were already conditioned to think about, you know, a life in the future and a lifestyle in the future around income. And, you know, today it's completely different. So today you mentioned capital at work earlier, this capital at work number, and a lot of people approaching, you know, retirement today think about, oh, you know, what's on my balance sheet, this big number, I need $2 million or $3 million to retire. But they have no concept of what that means in terms of a lifestyle or the income replacement. So these most accumulation dollars that we're putting away in retirement accounts, you know, they're meant at some point for a lifestyle, which translates to income. So the outcome of a working career and the outcome is really income all along because we prepare for the future. So annuities is a simple way to say, okay, I can buy units of income for the future. And for every, you know, $100,000, I invest today at age 50, that could be $10,000 to $12,000 in cash flow 10 years later. And then you start to say, okay, well, $12,000 in cash flow 10 years later is $1,000 a month. And then, you know, when you think about that on an individual level, now it's in a simpler place where I can consume it and say, well, what does $1,000 a month mean to me? So annuities are really meant to take those assets that we've built over 20 to 30 years. And when we get into our 50s, we can start converting those numbers, those dollars or capital at work, we can start converting them into units of income in the future, which is essentially basically saying, I'm going to solve for a comfortable lifestyle so that I can pursue the things that I want to pursue.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge you there. I'm going to challenge you there a little bit, just because the wording that I really hope that people are pursuing what they're already wanting to pursue. It's just really, it doesn't necessarily have to, I really hate that retirement thinking, because I think, It gives us flexibility and freedom that if we want to continue to work, we can. If we want to do different things with our time, that we can. But it doesn't mean that's where I get to, you know, start pursuing my passions, because I have not ever done that until this date that I retire. So anyway, we'll continue to plug that as I'm trying on my mission to break some of the retirement language. But what you said, a couple things there that I would really like to dig in a little bit deeper. And one, most retirement planning and that I know of and hearing what my customers, what my clients listen to, it's all about this accumulation of assets and this net worth and getting this capital at work number. And maybe you'll be able to pull 4% out for the rest of the time. But the missing part of the conversation that you said that's so important is what's missing is it doesn't really matter, does it, how much capital at work? I mean, it does, but that's not the goal. The goal is cash flow. But most financial advice is saying, okay, let's build up the net worth and maybe we'll pull this percentage out. But talk a little bit more about the strategy needs to be how much future income, replacement income, am I looking to replace the working income so that if I want to quit working, I don't have to rely on my work in order to produce the income that underwrites the cost of living the lifestyle I want. So what's it like? Why is that? Why is income and cash flow a missing part of the financial conversation with most planners?
Well, there are several different reasons, but perhaps the most obvious is, or obvious to me, but not obvious to most, is that we have been reprogrammed because we no longer have pensions that are showing us, you know, what sort of lifestyle in the future that we're guaranteed from our company. You know, the traditional way to save for retirement has changed, and now it's a 401k or a 403b or an IRA, and every single quarter, four times a year, you know, you get in the mail a 401k statement. And the very first thing you look at, or at least I look at in a 401k statement, is to say, okay, I'm going to look at how much my account value is worth, and I'm going to look at a rate of return. So really, it's constantly being reinforced that my retirement is this number, and it's all about a rate of return. And because it's not about income anymore, there's no pensions. It's primarily a defined contribution plan or a 401k or an IRA. It's gone to account balances and it's gone to rates of return. And so we've been reconditioned every 90 days for those of us who are investing in those vehicles. So mentally, we're just driven away from the idea of income. And so, you know, that's really what the conversation is today, is to pull it back and to say, yes, those instruments are good. And that's what most people have access to. They don't have access to a pension. But at some point, we can go back to that idea of, you can take control and go back to that idea of income, and income for as long as you live, income for your life.
Yeah, and thank you for that, because that's really I went to, again, another place where I want people to start thinking about is it's always income, because it requires income, cash flow to live, to support the cost of living our life. And we use our working income during our working years to pay for the cost of living our life, that cash flow, that income. And so all of what we need to be concerned about is the replacement income and what sort of vehicles will enable me to replace 100% of my working income or some percentage of it, hopefully, you know, at least 80% or more. And then maybe, you know, some situations we could even go up in income, you know, if we've been, you know, strategically with some of our assets. But to go back to the planners or to the advisors and say, okay, let's talk future income. How does this, what does my future income look like? And where might that transition point be?
Yes, yes.
And why is it? And how does rate of returns, because that's another thing that traditional advisors are always talking about, like, oh, we can guarantee or promise. There's no guarantees or real promises, but this is our history for rates of return. And that's always the conversation. And we're always looking at, okay, you know, my portfolio got this rate of return as opposed to somebody else's. But what again, versus rates of return, that conversation, what should people be paying attention to?
Well, the idea with rates of return, and because we all are, you know, we're all pushed to the 401k today, we've really been also reconditioned that the risk associated with accumulating assets in a 401k, we basically look at those risky assets as safe, because that's all we have exposure to. And the trouble with that is, when you're not pulling income off of those accumulation vehicles, you know, your rates of return are fairly easy to understand. You average, you know, 8 to 10% in the market over the last, you know, 80 years, and my portfolio is going to repeat that, hopefully. But once we transition into income, then, you know, it's a much different ballgame. Those rates of returns don't tell the full story. So just for instance, you know, try telling someone that, you know, the market's averaged 7% over the last 20 years, and then go to a retiree whose portfolio was down 40% in 2000 to 2002, or in 2008, 2009. And, you know, that $1 million is cut by 40%. And we try to take the same income number for lifestyle off of those portfolios. And we seriously have damaged our ability to make that money last for the rest of our life, because we're taking income when it's you know, ill-timed, essentially. So rates of return can be dangerous as it relates to how we take income from those accumulation assets. And what annuities do is one, first and foremost, it guarantees income that we can't outlive, no matter what's going on in the market, no matter what's going on in an election year, no matter what's going on, you know, with global events. Those income numbers are not going to be, you know, not going to be affected like a pension, not going to be affected when the market's down and when our rates of return in the short term are down. So it's protection against the timing of the market, and it's a guarantee that you can't outlive your money.
And how much, I mean, there's a lot of risk these days. I mean, I'm guessing that a lot of even baby boomers now, and now those, the Gen X that are starting to even hit some retirement ages, that we're living a long time. So how much risk is there of running out of money, even if you've been a pretty prudent, you know, saver and investor?
Well, there is risk. There's plenty of risk. And unfortunately, like I said earlier, you know, because that's all we know, for the conventional way or the status quo of retirement planning today, you know, we've been reprogrammed to think of risk as safe or acceptable. And so there's plenty of risk out there. We mentioned, you know, the sequence of returns or when the markets do what they're going to do. You know, currently in the marketplace, you know, we've seen an all-time low in interest rates for those clients that are already in retirement. It's so much harder to get income out of the same dollar than it was 10 years ago because interest rates are so low. But, you know, one of the risks that most people don't think about that's turned around in the last, you know, just 2 months is those rates are going up and their asset levels are going down. So while income is going up, they're actually losing money in bonds. So there is plenty of risk in those traditional retirement assets. And annuities is an asset that can take away that risk.
And I like the way you described annuities to me when we first sat down, because again, this was one thing I did not understand and was, you know, thought they were evil. Like whole life insurance, I thought was evil. And now, you know, I'm a big holder of whole life insurance and working towards annuities now that I understand them. But really, you know, I loved how you, when you sat down and we chatted about this, is that, you know, I think the way you explained it too is, you know, back in the day, that our parents and grandparents, I mean, they had these pensions. They knew that they were going to have some percentage of their income, their working income. And so that they knew how to prepare for, you know, part of that future. They could get an idea of, okay, if I'm going to be guaranteed that amount of income for the rest of my life, I know I can live off that. And so annuities really is the new age way to replace those pensions. It's just that we're accumulating the assets and then maybe converting them over to annuities. So we're creating our own pensions. Annuities are our own created pensions. So we have that same future guaranteed income. I mean, am I understanding that correctly?
Sure. And you mentioned whole life insurance earlier. And it's just a matter of realizing that it is critical to know that the inclusion of guaranteed income in your portfolio, whether that guaranteed income is coming from an annuity, Social Security, or a pension, it's critical to have those units of guaranteed income to solve for a basic lifestyle in retirement. And so it's not to say 100% of your assets need to be placed into annuities or 100% of your assets need to be placed into whole life or XYZ, you know, financial instrument. It's to say, okay, you know, what is a basic lifestyle for me in retirement that I will have the comfort and confidence to retire and wake up every day knowing that I'm safe. And so that's typically for most people a basic framework of what is food, shelter, clothing. And so to have guaranteed income to solve for that basic lifestyle of food, shelter, clothing, basic living. And it's not to say that we should solve for all of our income needs, you know, the income to send us to Europe twice a year, or the income to go to Disney World with our grandkids. It's just to say, okay, can I cover all my insurance payments? Can I cover the shelter over my head and the food that I need every day? So that's where we start to implement annuity strategies. And that's how, you know, the income replacement works in retirement planning.
Yeah. And that's what was so helpful to me. And like when I had my big aha after talking to you, is that, you know, with our complete portfolio and what we do and looking at that future income, is that the one thing when you and I talked, you talked about, this is great, Christina. You have a beautiful portfolio. You guys are building something very strategic. But what's missing is the guarantee that depending, you know, if you're forced to, let's say, quote unquote, retire, the word that I hate, but I'll use it, that if you were forced to, for example, and it's the market low, your cash flow, your dividends, or your cash flow from investment properties, or your cash flow from some of these different assets may be at an all-time low. So there's no guarantee. So this helps at least cover the guaranteed income of your basic lifestyle. So we want to at least cover that. So if, you know, just the timing, these other assets aren't producing, at least you have this guarantee. And that's what, especially as we age, that's what we're most fearful of, is what, running out of money and not having that guaranteed other than maybe Social Security. Most of us don't have pensions. So that's the part that I really love. Like, oh, okay. Now you and I are talking about, okay, strategically, when would be the right maybe time and how much to convert it into annuities to replace that amount of income so that that baseline is covered.
Sure. The timing is typically, you know, it will vary from person to person, but in the ballpark in your late 40s and in your 50s is where you really seriously start to think about transitioning to that financial freedom or the retirement stage of the rest of your life. So people in their late 40s and 50s. But, you know, going back to the concept that you mentioned earlier about the timing, you know, when it's not time, it's a bad time to take money out of the market. I'm not anti-traditional, you know, assets because I'm pro annuities and I'm such an advocate for guaranteed income. It's the inclusion of the guaranteed income in the portfolio can make all your other assets perform so much better. But whether it's real estate, whether it is equities or stocks and bonds, they're inherent. They have a cyclical nature. So the timing of when to maximize those assets or get out of your investment property or start a distribution stream from a stock account, they're cyclical. We can't control that. So if I have those base level units of income or income for life solved for, then I can optimize the rest of my assets. I can choose when to get out at the top of my real estate portfolio. I can choose not to lock in losses when the markets are at, you know, temporary lows or down 30 and 40%. So the inclusion of the guaranteed income can make the rest of what we own act so much better.
Yes. And there's the longevity piece too. That are you saying that once you lock in an annuity, if I live to 120, I'm going to be guaranteed that income for, you know, that long of a life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the number one, you know, secret sauce, you know, what annuities or pensions and Social Security do that no other financial instrument does is it guarantees income for as long as we live. And those other traditional assets, real estate, stocks, bonds, you know, insurance, simply cannot do that. So whether you're a client that lives into their mid 80s or, you know, and well past 100, you know, you have a guarantee of income for life.
Yeah. And even let's say worst case, some of the assets run out of money. I mean, if you live a long lifespan and you have to dip into some of that principal in order to, or whatever things lose value or whatever, that this is that guarantee to cover those baseline things so that you're never basically on the streets. You know, as we age, we don't want to be completely broke or just have to rely maybe on Social Security. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. So just putting it into place, you know, for most retirees, finding that comfortable, you know, non-negotiable lifestyle level. I called it basic expenses, but, you know, what's a lifestyle that would be non-negotiable to you? For some, it could be, you know, keeping a $2,000 a month golf club membership. It could be just solving for a simple level of, you know, food, shelter, clothing, but it's finding that lifestyle and matching it with the income to ensure that that lifestyle can be met.
Right. And so purchasing annuities, for example, it's just like any other financial instrument. You just buy it based on the cost. You know, there's many different variables. But, you know, one thing we've talked about, for example, is at a certain time, and we're watching that timing and talking about it strategically, but it's like we may want to cash in this real estate asset and convert that over to an annuity and use the money from that sale and move it to an annuity to replace the unguaranteed income from that real estate asset future to a guarantee. But that's one thing we're talking about. But basically, you just buy an annuity, correct?
Yes. And so if you can continue to think about these assets that you've accumulated, that going back to the idea that the outcome of most of our assets that we've accumulated always has been income. So the outcome has been income from the onset. So when is the best time to buy? Big picture, I would say, well, when I can afford to. And so, you know, when you have the financial confidence and flexibility and freedom to make those decisions, you know, the market as of yesterday hit an all-time high. And so, you know, when your assets are performing well, you can periodically take those gains off the table and start shifting it to, you know, units of income or an annuity purchase for income in the future.
Okay. So you don't have to buy one big annuity all at once. You can buy units of income.
Sure. So, you know, the earlier you start to think about it, you know, converting my hard-earned savings to income, you know, the earlier we do that, the more flexibility and freedom you have. You know, the last thing that you want to do is be someone that's, you know, I'm 64 years old, I'm retiring in 6 months, and now I'm going to start thinking about retirement. And then I retire when treasury rates or interest rates are at all time low in the summer of 2016. And I'm looking at a historical poor time to buy income. So if you can, you know, and the purchasing environment is much better than it was in the summer of this year today, by the way, but you just want to, you know, talk with your advisor and say, okay, I'm serious about retirement. I'm serious about taking some of my gains off the table in an environment like today where equity prices or real estate prices in most areas are at, you know, comfortable highs or even all-time highs, and saying, is it prudent for me to take some of the gains or off the table and start, you know, building baseline levels or safety nets of income?
Yeah. And I like what you said there. You said buy income. I mean, that's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
And it is. And I really like this. I hadn't really thought about that this way before, but it is buying income and it's buying units of income. And you can just continue to buy those units until maybe you reach that baseline. And like you said, ideally, you'd like to start buying these when the market's at the high and you can use the gains to buy more units, perhaps. Is there, what about when do the annuities take effect? So do you create some future date that these will, you know, they start paying out, distribute, you know, the distribution, or how does the timing factor in?
Sure. In general, you would set a date, and there's some flexibility there when setting that date. But, you know, if I were a, you know, pre-retiree, still working in my 50s, you know, I could go to most any financial planner and say, you know, show me a few options on annuities and, you know, for age 65. And for the most part, you know, you would just set a date just to know what your guaranteed income would be. And some annuities offer upside to that income where it could be better, or some is just a pure, you know, pension-like purchase where it's a guaranteed income on every dollar, you know, of purchase. But you set the income date, and as you approach that income date, most annuities would offer the flexibility to push that or pull that back, you know, a few years if your financial situation changes.
Got it. Okay. Well, and so what if people, let's say someone listening is going to their planner advisor, and again, I've talked to a lot of planners and advisors in my lifetime. And what most advisors I've noticed, either they don't know anything about annuities, and so it's just not part of they're planning, you know, the strategy that they might talk about, or two, or actually, they will completely poo-poo annuities and say, oh, you don't want an annuity. Oh my God, those things are X, Y, and Z. So what do you have to say about that?
Great question. Yeah, there's definitely many different opinions on annuities. And, you know, again, the traditional accumulation, the traditional way to accumulate is 401k, IRAs, and a lot of financial advisors are kind of stuck in that traditional way of accumulating. And so you go and you've got an 80-20 mix of stocks and bonds and a 401k, and you say, hey, what are we going to do with this? And they say, well, you roll it over to an IRA at my financial shop, and instead of being 80-20, we're going to go 60-40, but we're just going to stay in a similar approach, and we'll just draw income off of that for the rest of your life. You know, the annuities, you know, the financial planning industry has not done a great job of articulating the value of annuities. And annuities, when they were first introduced, were simply a purchase of income. And over the last 15 years, you know, different variations of annuities have tried to do more than that. And, you know, they would say, okay, it's income plus, you know, market upside, or income plus, you know, a death benefit or some sort of legacy benefit. And, you know, there's added fees. And so as it relates to, you know, mutual funds, maybe they say, oh, it's too expensive. But there are definitely annuities out there, you know, like a single premium immediate annuity or a deferred income annuity that has no equity exposure. It has no fees. It has no expenses. And I think the hard thing, and the further away you get from the income idea, the more complicated the products can get, and the more watered down they can potentially get. So I would just say to the financial planning community that is anti-annuities, you know, how are you going to look your client in the eye and say, you know, this portfolio is going, we're confident this portfolio is going to last, you know, into age 100 if one of two of a married couple live that long. And how are they going to talk to that married couple with confidence to say that they can make those funds last? And most traditional products can't do that. And so today's annuities, if you just think about the simpler approach of, you know, an income annuity or a deferred income annuity or a single premium immediate annuity, you can really take away a lot of the negatives that you would read about in a financial planning magazine, or if someone on the radio might talk about.
And can somebody that has a traditional 401k or IRA, can they convert to annuities?
Sure. It's a fairly simple process. A college graduate today, I heard the statistic, was going to change jobs 8 times over a working career. So the most of the dollars that we see at Guardian into annuities are coming from an old 401k. So if you are in your 50s, the likelihood is you've changed jobs multiple times. You might have taken that old 401k and put it into an IRA. Or you could still have it in a 401k. So we see quite a few pre-retirees that will take those assets from an old job and convert them into an annuity for future income.
Yeah, and that conversation is not being had. There's a lot of conversion into, you know, Roth IRAs, some self-directeds or whatever, but I don't hear people saying, hey, let's talk about converting some of these previous monies into an annuity. It's a conversation that's not had.
Well, you know, one of the issues with annuities is the worst thing that could possibly happen in converting that asset into guaranteed income in an annuity is that you miss out on some big, you know, potentially greater return. But if I'm talking to a client, if I'm talking to a pre-retiree, the majority of those would easily pick a situation where they take a small portion, less than half of their assets, and say, okay, I'm willing to convert that into income. And if the market goes up 20% over the next 20 years, you know, I'm safe, I'm living comfortably, but the market's not doing that. Most people are keeping, you know, keeping the prospects of some great return, keeping them from, you know, making the decision to lock in that income. And I think it's unfortunate because, you know, when faced that choice to say, okay, the worst thing that could happen is that I miss out on some, you know, 12% return versus the worst thing that can happen if I don't secure that income being, you know, my portfolio being cut in half in some sort of, you know, tech bubble in the 2000s or real estate bubble or credit bubble in 2008, 2009, that is literally, you know, taking away all their savings and forcing them to return to work or you know, forcing them or giving them less financial freedom. That's where annuities can come in and make their situation better.
Yeah. And let's be real. It's not like people are really moving money at the height of the market and do anything. It's sort of a set it, forget it. And hopefully there'll be enough there when I quote unquote officially retire.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So annuities, you know, the way I'm looking at it and the way we're is part of our financial planning and strategy is it's one instrument of many. I mean, Gary and I will certainly, I mean, annuities is going to be part of our portfolio. We're talking to you now about our strategy for that. And really it's looking, taking your advice and figuring out like, what is that baseline that we want guaranteed? And, you know, we both plan on living a long time. We take care of our health. So hopefully, you know, we'll have a long lifespan and be very healthy well into our hundreds. So that guarantee for us is really important. And then, but then also, I mean, we have real estate, we have whole life. I mean, we do have a full portfolio. And the point is the annuity is one of many instruments that we're using as part of our strategy, our long-term freedom strategy.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. And that's the key is to talk with an advisor or talk with someone who can put it in proper perspective and help you find that balance. It's all about, you know, I make the analogy of, you know, different tools in your toolbox. And so when you think about the ownership of guaranteed income and how that's optimal for retirement, or if you think about the ownership of equities and how that's optimal for accumulation, or you mentioned, you know, whole life insurance and insurance, that is optimal. That is the best to transfer, you know, legacy, to transfer dollars from one generation to the next, and you do it tax-free. And so I think the pitfall is that most in that set it and forget it mentality, Christina, is that they take that, you know, they take that one big asset that they've had in a 401k and they, you know, that's 90% of what they own. And then they try to make it do so many different things. It by default becomes their income strategy. It by default becomes their life insurance strategy. It all, you know, they try to make it do so many different things when it's not optimal to be a multi-purpose tool. You know, it's taking a picture of your, you know, your financials, and saying, okay, what buckets need to go where for income? You know, what dollars need to go in this bucket for legacy transfer? And, you know, so again, annuities are optimal for income replacement. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for your time. You made this very simple to understand. And I think a lot of people listening will at least be more curious about annuities or talk to their planners about them. What would you say to someone that goes to their advisor or planner that says, stay away from annuities? What advice or coaching would you offer them?
I would just challenge the client to think about, you know, what financial peace means to them. And we mentioned earlier, or you know, what you said earlier that you were challenging me on. I mean, as it relates to personal finance, you want to have the comfort and confidence. And so, you know, when you see the volatility in the market, if the advisor says, stay the course, you know, let's not change anything. It's really just challenging the status quo and to say, okay, what does comfort and confidence in retirement mean to me? And, you know, we have that in a guarantee and so many of the traditional assets don't. So I would just, you know, there are plenty of advisors who are comfortable with the use of annuities, but there are advisors and financial professionals who have made a living, you know, being against something. And it could be they're against annuities. It could be that they're against life insurance or you name it. But whatever they're selling, they've got to get you to buy it to be against something else. So, you know, there is plenty of that. But you can certainly find advisors who are, you know, a certified financial professional who would be very well versed in a multitude of products that can provide a multitude of outcomes.
So what would be a good resource that if somebody wanted to read up on annuities, you know, something pretty simple, just again, sort of breaking this down to layman understanding so that just anyone could at least have the basic knowledge and know maybe the right questions to ask or considerations when meeting with their planner? Are there any books or places to go to start learning some of the, you know, basics about annuities?
Absolutely. I'll give you two. I would tell you that just in terms of an online resource, Guardian has a great website called myretirementwalk.com, as well as you can find My Retirement Walk through Facebook, and our updates and blog posts can be pushed to you. But it's a constant dialogue of visualizing retirement and preparing for, you know, that financial freedom that we've talked about. So that's a great way to get connected through the internet or social media. And the second resource is a book by an author named Tom Hegna called Paychecks and Playchecks. He talks about income and retirement and paycheck replacement. And to some, it could be a playcheck, you know, the country club membership. But Tom Hegna, Paychecks and Playchecks, is another great resource, a very short read that can help, you know, change perspective in terms of how you would want to optimize your retirement.
Yeah, and I've read that book, and it is a great book that really helped me tremendously. And again, it's written where you don't have to have a finance degree to understand these things. Well, Luke, thank you so much. Again, I don't use the word retirement. I know that's an industry, you know, it's just an industry term, and we're all conditioned to, especially in the financial services industry. But to me, it's freedom. It's working towards some point in time where we have full financial freedom. And what freedom is what you said, is comfort and security. And so it doesn't mean it has to be about retirement, but it's at a future point in time where we know we have income that will replace all, or if not most of, or even more of our current working income, that gives us that freedom and flexibility to make whatever choices we make. Some people may wish to choose to quit working. Like I don't plan to ever quit working, hopefully, because I love what I do. And I think the more wisdom I get and have with age and experience, I'll be that much more valuable when I'm 62, as opposed to dropping out. But that's my own personal philosophy that I like to squeeze in when possible. But it's really not so much about retirement, I think. That's just a term we're used to using. Would you agree it's really about this financial freedom, like having the place where we know our bills will be paid?
Absolutely. I mean, it's waking up every single morning and having the security, comfort, and confidence to know that we're taken care of and that we've been a good steward of our assets. And it's not about, you know, turning on CNBC every morning and seeing what the market's going to do. It's having the security and comfort and confidence to pursue a lifestyle to maximize, you know, self-actualization or, you know, whatever that you want to pursue.
Yeah, and it is just pursue whatever lifestyle, like having the lifestyle. And we work. It's the same thing when we're working. We're working to produce the income for a certain lifestyle. And then we want that lifestyle to stay consistent all the way through the end, whether we're working or not working. So that is the goal, is a certain lifestyle. So one final question that I ask all of my guests, and I think, you know, you've done a good job of doing this already, but I like to do a little myth busting, because so much of the status quo, the conventional wisdom out there, when it comes to money and health, in this case, money. I mean, it's just, we're living our lives according to these truths that aren't true. they're real fallacy. And as a result, they're when it comes to our money, it's probably costing us money. So what's a myth out there? It can be in the, you know, with money, it can in your profession or even personal, but what myth do you bump up against all the time, that just a misconception that you'd like to bust?
Well, I'll just go to the value of annuities. You know, annuities are bad. I mean, there's a gentleman on the radio that runs commercials all day long about, if you have an annuity, you should call this number and we can help you. You know, hopefully I've articulated that it's absolutely critical to make retirement the best that you can be, the best that it can be, meaning that, you know, you can wake up every single morning, regardless of whether you're living 20 years or 45 years through your retirement to 100 and beyond, that you're waking up with the financial security and confidence with income to solve for that lifestyle. And so, you know, I would just bust through, you know, what you asked me about earlier, that annuities are something evil, or annuities are something that I should shy away from or stay away from. And so hopefully we've articulated that over the course of our conversation. And I would just challenge, you know, clients to educate themselves, and hopefully we've done so.
Yeah, that's great. And And for me, once I learned about annuities, really through you, and you really educated me on this, I realized that that was the one missing piece from my portfolio, that guaranteed income, which it's like, holy cow. I mean, I'm so glad that that you shared this with me, because I'd hate to think now that that would be a missing part, that guaranteed income would be a missing part, because I had this belief that annuities were bad.
Well, I'm so glad that you've seen it that way, and I hope that some of your followers or all of your followers have the opportunity to kind of shift their perspective and see annuities and income in a different light.
Well, Luke, you've been so great. Thank you very much for being here with us today, and thank you personally. I appreciate you.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Christina.
And so ends another episode of The Wealthy Wealthy Life. This was one more millionaire strategy that will make you wealthy while keeping you healthy. Before I leave, remember that if you want to get it all together, then make sure to sign up for a free online training session at howto.money. You will learn my signature formula for transforming your life from debt to multi-millionaire. It's already helped thousands of others, and it can help you too. And it's the only money-making system that makes your health your number one asset. So if you're curious how it all works, visit howto.money and sign up today. Remember, it's free, so why not invest some time in learning how to money? Again, that's howto.money, howto.money. As always, be sure to subscribe to this podcast to make sure that you catch next week's Millionaire Strategy. Signing off, this is Christina Wise, your personal guide to having it all. Here's to living a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.